Hey guys, another episode of Get Fit with Eric podcast here. Took a few weeks off for the end of summer for a family vacation, but I'm back kind of focusing on hormones again, and today I'm going to focus on testosterone. This one's near and dear to my heart because I actually dealt with some issues with this since my late 30s. I remember back in my late 30s, I've always been motivated and goal-oriented, and all of a sudden it was like somebody, it was kind of like the Austin Powers movie, like somebody took my mojo away. And I was just tired all the time. I had no motivation, and I felt kind of really depressed. And I'd never felt like that before. And I didn't know what was going on. And luckily, I was out to lunch with a good friend, and he asked me about testosterone, if I'd ever had it checked. And I'd never even thought about it until my late 30s. So lo and behold, I went and had my testosterone checked, and in fact, it was low. And then I proceeded to get on testosterone therapy, which did make a big difference in my overall health and my overall mental and physical state. So I have been on that for, gosh, it's been probably about 10 years. But you know, kind of looking back, hindsight being 20/20, I probably would have realistically tried to manage it with some natural things to naturally get it up before taking the testosterone therapy. Not that the testosterone therapy isn't working, but I always like to go the natural route first, and I didn't know then what I know now. So what I'm hoping today, and this one's primarily for the guys that might be getting some of these symptoms, is let's talk about testosterone, how important it is. And, you know, the normal range for a guy, and they've keep moving it down because the guy of today's average, you know, average levels are much lower than the guys of the past, but you should be in a 270 to 1,070 nanograms per deciliter range. I've been as low as 150. That's where I had those symptoms, and I've been high as 1800 when I overdosed, when they had me in too high of a dosage. Recently, I've sat in about the 846, and I can tell I feel great at 846, and the 800s is a pretty good place for me. But that's where you really want to be, is, you know, 270, even on the lower end, you can start to experience symptoms, and a lot of doctors will actually give you prescriptions, even if you're in that low normal, if you're still having those symptoms. And what are the symptoms of low testosterone? Well, I kind of talked about a few of them, but just to kind of review, low energy, that's a big one, loss of strength, stamina, and muscle. You know, if all of a sudden you feel like you're just getting weaker and there's no real good explanation for it, that can be part of the deal. If loss of mental aggressiveness, all right, guys, you always hear this, kind of the cliche is that guy's got a lot of testosterone when he's aggressive, but guys, we're wired to be, you know, hunters and gatherers and going out and doing things. And if you don't have the motivation to do those things, if you feel like you're just having to force yourself out of bed every day, that could be a sign that it's low testosterone. And that was a big one with me, as I was losing my mental motivation to go out and do things that I knew that wasn't me. So that was a big one with me. Weight gain, as we lower testosterone levels, we have a tendency to put on more body fat. And then we always hear about osteoporosis for women, but as we have low testosterone, that becomes a risk for men too. So brittle bones, all right? So all those things are effects of low testosterone. And what causes low testosterone? Well, obviously aging is one of them. That's kind of the easy one to figure out, is as we age, our bodies tend to produce less testosterone. In fact, we tend to peak in our 20s, and then it's a slow 1% decline every year after that. So you know, after 20 years old, it's kind of a downhill slide, but it doesn't have to mean that you have to just live with low testosterone. And some other things are more lifestyle oriented. So alcohol, I've talked about this in the past, but alcohol, guys that like to drink beer every night, you're killing your testosterone. That's alcohol is one of the big ones. Smoking is another one. And bad nutrition, all the things we talk about, you know, poor nutrition, not keeping your body nourished. There's certain things that help, foods that help your body produce testosterone. And a lot of times we're not eating a lot of those things. We're eating a lot of grab and go processed foods, which doesn't give our body what it needs to produce the hormone levels it needs. So the other one on the other end of the spectrum is overtraining. You know, if you're kind of a balls to the walls kind of guy and you train too much without a lot of rest and you're always going type A, you know, we talked about in the last one, cortisol, definitely high cortisol. And overtraining can lower testosterone. So it's just kind of like a drug. Too much of a good thing can be a bad thing. So those are the things that kill testosterone. So how do we bring it up naturally on our own instead of going to therapy? Now, that would be my recommendation. If you come in and you feel like you have low testosterone, if you get it tested and it's on the lower end, One of the things you can do is just, I would, like I said, hindsight being 20/20, go back and try some of these natural things first before just going right to testosterone therapy. Because I'll just tell you what, it's a pain in the butt. It's highly regulated. A lot of times I'll run out, and then it's just a pain of dealing with pharmacies and doctors trying to get my prescription. You have to go in and get blood tested. There's a lot of stuff, and rightfully so. So I would try to do the natural route before going on the replacement therapy. But here are some natural things I would try first. So sleep. This is one in our fast-paced society. The number one time of day when our body produces its testosterone is sleep, and especially the later stages of sleep. So guys, we need to kind of figure out what's our ideal amount of sleep. I know for me, it's about 7 hours as a minimum for me for a good, what I would consider a good night's sleep. I know I've seen guys that say 6 hours, 8 hours. It's DNA coded, so you probably know where that's at. So if you're kind of getting by and like lack of sleep and you're just really cranking it, that's going to blunt your testosterone. The other thing when you're in the gym is focusing on big complex movements. So not bicep curls or tricep extensions, but if you can do the Olympic lifts or variations of them, like, you know, snatches, cleans, those type of things, those are high skill movements, but you can do things like them, like a curl to overhead press, push presses. Deadlifts are great. Deadlifts are probably one of my favorite. Deadlifts and bar squats, because they involve the whole body. So anything that's a total body lift, a real complex movement like that, is going to elevate levels of testosterone. The other thing is going to be high volume. So volume basically is just sets times reps times load. So we want to do, you know, of these high complex movements, you're looking at doing about 6 to 10 sets of each and about 5 to 6 reps. And that's a good high volume place to be. Like, just like before, if you go more than that, you know, sometimes you got to kind of gauge, like 10 sets might be too much for you. And you might feel like your body's trashed. You shouldn't get in the car and feel like you're wasted for the day, but it should feel almost invigorating. You're fired up, you worked hard, but you shouldn't be trashed. That's a good way to tell how many sets are right for you. And I know personally, I've noticed in my 40s, a little bit lower volume works better for me now. I recover better. So you always have to take recovery into consideration. So high intensity training. So what does that mean? High intensity just basically means you're not sitting around taking long rest periods. We keep the workout fast paced. We keep the rest periods fairly short. I would say 45 seconds to a minute or supersetting. That's what we do a lot in our personal training studio. There's a reason for doing that for both men and women. That high intensity work is great for hormonal profiles, especially for guys for testosterone buildup. And then the other thing is having a post-workout drink that is about a ratio of 3 to 1 or at least 2 to 1 of carbohydrate to protein. And we want to have simple carbohydrates, stuff that breaks down quickly. So preference for me is a shake. You know, like an easy one I like to use, the Advocare post-workout recovery shake, or I do a meal replacement shake from Advocare, and I do a banana with that, and that gives me about a 2 to 1 ratio. So the liquid is better because the liquid gets in there quicker than like a solid food that breaks down. So about 30 to 60 minutes after a workout, I like to have that post-workout drink. You can still have a simple carbohydrate meal. So, you know, that would be something, you know, more like if you did like some fruit and yogurt, something like that would work too. But ideally, I would say a liquid is going to be your best option. And then number 6 here, this last one I want to talk about is eating foods high in cholesterol. So testosterone needs cholesterol to produce. All right. So, you know, back in the day we heard that beef was evil and beef wasn't the thing, and whole eggs and egg yolks were evil for cholesterol, but our body needs cholesterol. Once again, you need certain nutrients to produce to help you produce hormones. So the high cholesterol foods that you're going to eat, and I'm not saying eat a lot of these, but incorporate these in your diet, is, you know, put in a couple egg yolks a day. Whole eggs are great. Some lean beef, I would prefer grass-fed beef. Beef is another good one. Shrimp and cheese. And I'm not talking about Velveeta slices. I'm talking about high-quality cheese. So those are some easy things you can put in your diet that are going to help your body produce its own testosterone. That is just kind of a short list of things you can do to work on this. One little bonus thing I would talk about is, I've talked about this in the past, is is your estrogen, your pseudoestrogen type products, your plastics, is I would stay away from a lot of plastics because a lot of them contain a lot of these estrogen mimicking type chemicals that can make your body think that you're producing, that make your body to think it's estrogen, which will lower your testosterone. So I would stay away from plastics. So plastic bottles, heating things up in plastic, especially a big no-no. So that would be another bonus too, is really kind of watch those things. I know I've gone to all of a metal or glass bottle for my drinking my water, drinking more purified water, those kind of things, trying to keep all the chemicals as much as possible out of my system, because those two can dress up not just testosterone, but a lot of hormones. So those are some tips on your testosterone. If you're a guy and you're listening to this and you haven't had it tested and you're in your late 30s on up and you're getting some of these symptoms, numbers are always great to have. You know, you might be in the low normal range, which they might not give you a quote-unquote prescription, which is a good thing, which gives you an opportunity to work on getting it up on your own naturally. And if you can't, then I would look at that route. And, if you want to reach out to me, I have a good endocrinologist that I work with that deals with this. But definitely an important thing in this day and age. We call it male menopause, basically. But hopefully this podcast was helpful. We're talking about testosterone. And next week, I want to talk a little bit about human growth hormone, which is good for both men and women. But this is our podcast for the week back on the hormone series. We'll check you next week. As always, reach out to me if you have specific questions on this topic. Hey guys, Eric Peacock here with Get Fit with Eric podcast here. And we are on our hormone series. This is my last one. I'm going to talk about a human growth hormone, which is a lot of times called the fountain of youth because it does so many different things. And as we get older, we tend to produce less and less of it. And this is why you'll see a lot of Hollywood stars have reverted to doing this. And it is a powerful hormone. It does do a lot of great things. So I want to talk about some of the benefits of human growth hormone. So when we have human growth hormone in adequate or high levels, we're able to grow more lean muscle mass. It's been shown that it picks up your amino acid, your production of amino acids, which are your components of protein, which helps you keep or add more lean muscle mass, also get stronger. Because as we get older, we know a lot of times we lose muscle mass and we get weaker. And there's things we can do to prevent that. And we're going to talk about how we improve HGH or human growth hormone levels with our lifestyle. But that's one of the big reasons for it. It does also do a good job helping you get better sleep. So when you get those higher human growth hormones, you will produce more during your sleep, and that'll lead to a better quality of sleep. Human growth hormone also is important for mood. It actually can act as a natural antidepressant because it actually increases the levels of endorphins. You always think about endorphins with exercise. So human growth hormones actually increase those endorphins. And there's kind of a tie in here to exercise that I'm going to tell you about a little bit later in the podcast. Also immunity, stronger immunity is with higher human growth hormone levels. It benefits the immunity of the whole body because you boost your T cell and your interleukin 2 production, as well as production of antibodies. And these are primary factors in disease fighting. They lower the risk of disease and inflammation and improve the production of red blood cells and promote a better overall immunity through external threats. And we know here in Minnesota during the winter, that's a big deal, as we're around people and a lot of people are sick. So it just doesn't make you bulletproof, but it definitely will improve your immunity. And when you have better immunity, even if you do get sick, you typically recover much, much quicker. Better skin and hair, human growth hormone. A lot of times we think about youthful appearance, but it does help make your skin more elastic and contours the face better, and it thickens the skin, and it can actually help with wrinkles too. So ladies, you're probably going to like to hear this, use all those creams and stuff. So if you increase your HGH, that can help with wrinkles. It helps with hair growth due to the improved thickness of the skin. Human growth hormone is also awesome for memory. It does help to repair and rejuvenate brain cells. And then the memories in the brain are, if you didn't know this, were produced via protein production. So the process of learning and intelligence require a lot of human growth hormone produced by the body or supplemented in. And I would prefer produced by the body before going to supplementation, because it's really, really expensive. Also cell production. We have heard the term antioxidants. Antioxidants basically keep you from rusting on the inside out. A lot of times we think of them in vitamins, which they are, in vitamins in certain other foods. But we also get an antioxidant effect from human growth hormone, meaning that if you think of like your cells like a nice white pristine rug, And you think about that rug sits in front of a fireplace. When those sparks come out of the fireplace and hit the rug, what happens over time, that rug starts to get worn down. Those sparks are like free radicals, which cause oxidation in the body. So all cellular protection does is put a glass case in front of the fireplace so that the sparks can't hit the rug. That's probably the best analogy I can give you, so the cells don't break down and rust. And you can see good examples of free radical damage is somebody who smoked for a lot of years. Even people that have over-exercised, like a lot of marathoners and those type of people, you'll see that they look older than they are because their body's basically kind of rusting from the inside out because there's more stress, you know, produced in the body than the body's able to deal with, because it's really basically stress on the cells, and we have to have enough antioxidants on board to combat those free radicals that come from a big source is stress. What else we got? Increased libido. That's great, is that it does increase libido. Another thing that tends to go as we get older, improved cognitive function, thinking. And so it does help rejuvenate, repair neurons in the brain. So lots of good things here with human growth hormone. And then the last one I want to talk about is improved bone density. So you can actually, you know, HGH actually stimulates the production of insulin growth factor 1 or IGF-1 by the liver. And that release in the blood contributes to the growth and increase in your bone density. So it increases more bone mass as well. So very important, especially as we get older, because we always hear about people falling and breaking their hips. And women especially are susceptible to osteoporosis. So as you can see, human growth hormone is a pretty darn important hormone. So we want to talk about how do we increase it naturally. So some nice ways to try to get it naturally and spending a bunch of money and trying to go get it out on your own is high intensity exercise. So I'm going to say high intensity. That means, doesn't mean a lot of weight, but that means short rest periods, doing big movements. We talked about that last week with testosterone. Getting that heart rate up, doing high intensity type training will increase growth hormone. Adding in some supplements like L-glutamine and L-arginine can help with that. Believe it or not, laughing is another important one. We tend to get too serious and overstressed, but laughing can really dramatically help the health. So laughing also helps with HGH boost. Intermittent fasting is another one. Doing some fasting, it can help boost HGH levels. And good sleep, working on your sleep habits, you know, because your body tends to release more human growth hormone at night along with your testosterone. So sleep is really important too. And then also vitamin C is another one I didn't mention, another supplement that you can increase to help your body produce human growth hormone naturally. So this is just some ways to really get this thing going. You can do things in your lifestyle. You could look into supplementation, but it's typically very, very expensive, and it's going to be pretty hard to get any type of insurance coverage from that unless you can have a specific medical reason. So my take is that you try to do it on your own, get your body to produce its own HGH, because there are clinics that do it, and I've seen prices in the $4,000 to $6,000 per month range, and I know most people probably cannot afford that. So once again, how do we increase HGH? Because I talked about all the benefits: high intensity exercise, some supplementation, L-glutamine, L-arginine, also vitamin C. Those are some supplements that you could take if you don't think you're getting them from your diet, which a lot of people are just not. Laughing, you know, having, you know, not taking life too seriously, intermittent fasting, and good sleep. Those are the things that we want to do to get our human growth hormone up. So this is kind of a shorter podcast, but human growth hormone is an important hormone, along with testosterone, along with cortisol, along with insulin. Those are four that I covered over the last four series. If you haven't listened to the other ones, go back and listen to the other podcasts. But we just try to keep this as simple as possible. But one of the big things for changing your body is not just, you know, calories in, calories out, and working out all the time. It's really doing things to stimulate those hormones that can really send the messages and help your body do what you want it to do. You know, if those hormones are out of whack or they're not in sufficient amounts, even if you're working hard, it's going to be pretty hard to see the results you want. So you want to be hormonally minded. So that's my podcast for this week. Look for next week. We're going to have an interview with a successful client. It's always great to have testimonials on our podcast because people can hear kind of what they went through and how they got to where they are. But thanks for being on. And as always, shoot me any questions if you have any.